Well, hello there, and welcome to Radio Arcadia. Today is Monday, February 2nd, and I'm Chris Marcus, here with you as always on this fantastic podcast show that I hope you're enjoying as much as I enjoy doing it. Again, our goal really is to help you survive and thrive even after the dollar dies. And on today's episode, we'll talk about one of our most well-known politicians who's doing everything possible in his power to expedite the collapse of the dollar. And that's, of course, our friendly president, Mr. Barack Obama, who released his fantastic budget this year. Well, I don't I don't know if you'd really call it a budget. That's seems like perhaps not quite the correct word, because at least in what he called his budget, well, rather than taking my opinion on it, how about I'll just share with you the same quote I got in my inbox this morning. I get these fantastic Wall Street Journal alerts delivered straight in there. And it's always fantastic to see what they're peppering the public with. Peppering the public with propaganda. Yes, that seems how it goes. Anyway, I'm going to stop getting sidetracked here. I'll read the darn quote already. President Barack Obama proposed a nearly $4 trillion budget packet aimed at improving the nation's infrastructure and boosting middle-class Americans. I'd love to know how that's going to happen. But at a cost of tax increases on businesses and the wealthy and an end to existing spending caps. Okay, makes sense so far. Let's tax the people who are going to create the jobs, and that'll certainly make them more likely to create more. But we're not done yet. The budget, much of which Mr. Obama has detailed over the past month, obviously don't like where we're heading here, but makes a case for easing Washington's emphasis on deficit reduction measures given a strengthening economy. Of course, it makes no effort to fix the swelling costs of Social Security and Medicare. Wow, where to even begin on this doozy? First of all, I like how this is phrased. He makes a case for easing Washington's emphasis on deficit reduction measures. Isn't that kind of like if I was 400 pounds? Well, I'm gonna make a case to ease myself off of this new diet plan. It's just too stressful to think about. So we'll just ease off it. Hey, $18 trillion publicly stated debt, not to mention those swelling costs of Social Security and Medicare that he makes no mention of, or I want to be correct, it makes no new effort to fix, that when you factor those in, take us over $100 trillion, and these aren't my numbers. In fact, as of a few years ago, the Congressional Budget Office was predicting it was about $86 trillion then. And I tend to think they generally use some pretty conservative numbers to make it look better. So only God knows, perhaps, how much really it would cost to actually pay these ridiculous promises and other things that perhaps you noticed during Obama's recent State of the Union address. He talked about how we're now going to have free college for everyone, or maybe it was what do they call that? The 2 years, the junior college, I think it was, that he's making free. Now, of course, that's typical political standard trick where he says making it free, but, well, someone's going to pay for it. And, you know, there you go with your tax increases. So, which again, whether what Obama either doesn't realize or perhaps is abundantly clear on and just chooses to twist for his own benefit, although I don't want to assert anything. I'm just saying that's a possibility and perhaps what I would find most likely. But again, who knows? But in either case, you know, they can say, well, oh, we'll just tax all the businesses that are making a lot of money, and that'll help the middle class. But again, what he fails to consider is that the middle class is searching for jobs. Despite his unemployment numbers he looks at from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that count a job as a CEO or as a coffee maker at Starbucks all the same, or that just stop counting people who have been out of work for so long that they've just completely given up looking. And again, the Wall Street says, given this strengthening economy, well, he can look at all these rigged data points that he wants and make assumptions off of that. But again, I think the latest numbers on John Williams' shadow stats, which doesn't even attempt to calculate what, you know, a rational calculation would be, but just uses the old formulas. You know, if you actually use the same formula that they used during the Great Depression, I think we would have unemployment of about 24% now, which doesn't sound like a very strengthening economy to me. And of course, Obama wants to spend money aimed at improving the nation's infrastructure, again, which, another one of those vague, generic terms, which, what does that actually mean anyway? But he's going to improve it at the expense, not to the benefit of the middle class, but the expense of the middle class, because there's going to be less companies hiring now, because a lot of the money that they could have used to hire is going to go to whatever is in this budget package, blowing up Syria, building new weapons of mass destruction, and all the other things that spying on people through the NSA, funding the CIA so that they can go launch propaganda in different countries and create more trouble abroad, and as if it's not enough to oppress people in the homeland, you know, they're somehow going around under the guise that they're spreading freedom and democracy. Of course, keep in mind that the United States was never in any way designed as a democracy. In fact, our founding fathers were very clear that it was supposed to be a republic because they knew that the idea of democracy ultimately always ends up in having two wolves and a chicken voting on what to have for dinner. But nonetheless, when a company could be hiring, and certainly if you're a business owner, you're experiencing this firsthand, well, now that money is going to go in and Barack Obama is going to spend it, which, you know, and sometimes I wonder, given the things that they spend money on, and again, the weapons of mass destruction being one of the clearest examples where, you know, we find out later that not only were there no weapons of mass destruction, but apparently, they knew very well that there were no weapons of mass destruction and just went ahead and spent the money anyway so that they could spend more money on war, and which is, as the old saying goes, the health of the state. And the idea that, and I think about this a lot because especially I had left the U.S. and was living in Europe for a year and a half, and one of the things that was pointed out is that even if you move abroad, you still have to pay U.S. income tax. And it really made me think a lot more about how just because I'm born in a particular piece of land, that no matter what I do, where I go, what I believe in, or who I feel my creator was, which I don't believe it is the U.S. government, that this group of people are entitled to a half to a third or quarter, somewhere in there, percentage of everything that you earn. Now, what if I don't want to go support foreign wars? What if I think the infrastructure is just fine, or would prefer that if there is some infrastructure that needs to be improved, that the private sector could handle that? I mean, after all, this was, at least as I recall, this was supposedly based on capitalism, whereas now, perhaps the trickiest thing is determining whether this is a form of fascism or socialism or whatever you call this toxic arrangement where rather than allowing true freedom and allowing people to make their own decisions, spend their own money, where, you know, it's really a form of modern day slavery. And I say that from both sides of the story. Obviously, I did have my background on Wall Street, although in the process of walking out of Wall Street and creating my own business in Arcadia, let's just say I've gone through more than a day or two where I didn't have food. And not to compare that to anyone else, but just it really, some of those times when you're really struggling. I remember thinking, where was the government then? And yet now, even going forward, and I think when people create their own business and really face some of the challenges that we don't see as clearly when we're working for a corporation, the idea now that after doing all the stuff that I went through to follow my dream and take advantage of what I was told was freedom growing up, that now I'm going to do all this and I'm going to give a big chunk of whatever I make back to these same folks that, you know, what? Now, I have come to believe that they're, depending on who you're looking at, not that everyone who works in government is a bad person, but certainly I do believe that the real decision makers, which are levels above Obama or Congress, but the people are really calling the shots. I do believe that there is not a good intention behind a lot of these policies that are in place, but let's say for a second that I'm not right about that, and these guys are really trying their best but are just completely incompetent. I mean, it's like, would you keep giving your money to the financial advisor that loses it all the time? Would you keep hiring the guy who runs a business into the ground? And or would you keep hiring workers that can't get along with anyone? And kind of in the same way that Congress, anytime you see them trying to get anything done outside of spending more money, they look like an angry married couple that's bickering at each other with no. On top of it, it's that to assume that these are our role models, where there's no degree to which they ever seem to be willing to look at things rationally, accept new information. I mean, at this point, we get it. You know, they're sitting there. I'm a Republican. You're bad. Well, I'm a Democrat. Then the Republicans are the bad guys. And in reality, they're both just different wings of the same party that I believe have been propagated onto the public to, you know, again, a nice divide and conquer mentality, while the folks at the top are laughing all the way to the bank, realizing it's all complete theater. And nonetheless, anyway, I guess, hopefully, I suppose by now that you've gotten some of my clear thoughts on what I think of this new budget. And that's stunning. If you actually remember how during his campaign when he was still Senator Obama, and by no means do I say this to defend President Bush, because, you know, essentially I think they're really the same guy when you look at their body of work. But there's that famous, or rather infamous, clip of Obama saying how George Bush outspent the first 200 presidents all by his lonesome, running up the nation's debt in name of our children and the bank of credit card from the Bank of China. And it's amazing that there's never any comment on that. None of the promises that have been made and broken. Today I was writing about on ArcadiaEconomics.com, which you can go and read now. It's live, about how there were all these promises during that 2011 debt ceiling, the last one that actually got some attention, where it was such a disaster that even S&P, one of the rating agencies, finally woke up and downgraded U.S. Treasury debt. But of course, the way it was phrased was, all right, just let us raise it one more time, and this time we really plan to get it in check. And what was less well documented, of course, was how when we had this boogie monster known as the fiscal cliff roll along, and Bernanke and Congress and Obama, again, the only thing they were able to agree on was that, well, it'd be unpatriotic to cut spending. We have to support the recovery. Of course, what they didn't mention is that the cuts that they were undoing, those were the exact same cuts they had made just a year earlier in order to raise the spending limit. And of course, when it comes time to make the cuts, you know, it's not the time. Remember, there was that super committee that they created that, you know, these guys sat there, argued for a week or two and said, well, we can't figure anything out, so we just quit. Well, you know, maybe they should have resigned, you know, because if that's, and when are some of these elected officials going to start resigning or at least acknowledging what they've done, which is certainly challenging for the rest of us to have to clean up and deal with. And by no means do I want to go into a complete rant today and focus on the negative, because while it's unfortunate what's happening, what I feel is the great positive is that when you can become clear on the things that are happening and really get an unbiased perspective, which, I don't know, maybe at this point I'm biased or not, but I do my best to find the facts and call it like I see it. Obviously, I've lost complete faith in our government. I've lost trust in our government, although, again, I didn't wake up this way, and embarrassingly enough, I'll acknowledge I even voted for Obama the first time around before I had my awakening, but that was what the housing crisis in 2009, and since then, really did for me, where it made me stop listening to what was on CNN or on the news, but doing my own research and trying to understand why these things kept happening over and over again. And I found that when you really have an interest in finding out the facts, finding out the truth, and can get some good sources of information, most of these things are actually relatively simple. But it's just much like the Wall Street mentality, where a lot of complicated language and terms are used to throw people off track and make them think that it's too complex or confusing for them to understand, and you know, we just have to trust these guys who have let us down time and time and time and time again and hope for the best. But fortunately, I don't think that's the case anymore. We don't have to do that. And, you know, by all means, I encourage you to not just hear anything I say and take it as gospel, but hopefully I'm introducing new information that you can go and research and confirm or deny for yourself and form your own opinion. But I feel it's important to point out, because these are some of the things that are less well documented, and certainly I had no idea about myself until I really started looking at in different places and taking on a different perspective, which again is what I felt was important to share and why I left Wall Street and felt that there was a need for someone to translate Wall Street and the government into a language that people could actually understand. And hence the result is arcadiaeconomics.com. Shameless plug there again, but go visit the site because there's a lot of good stuff on there. And also hit the subscribe button on this podcast, because the action is just getting heated up. But we're here covering it for you every week, sometimes more than once a week, with the simple design being to give you the tools and the information you need so that you can understand what's going on, and then also taking that a step further and having solutions that you can implement, which we didn't get into quite as much today, but do on many of the other shows. And you know, a lot of the people who write in and comment have been finding that really helpful. So I really encourage you to take a look through the podcast channel and see some of the other episodes. Some of them might really appeal to you, and whether it's helping with your finances or your career, or if you have a real estate decision where you're not sure, well, can I buy a house now? Is this whole thing going to collapse soon? Anyway, these are the things that we cover, and the whole site was designed for you to make your life easier, help you learn from some of my past mistakes, some of the other people's past mistakes that I've been able to learn from, and just let you know that there are people out there that do have solutions, are helping, and you know, again, really just the more the awareness of these things spread, I believe that there is some critical mass point where when enough people are clear on what's going on rather than just falling for the myths that are sold to the public, that there is the still the possibility of a great future, something that we will actually be proud to leave behind to our children and grandchildren. And no matter what happens, I'm going to stay here, and I'm committed to doing my part and paying my fair share, which talking about paying your fair share, this is perhaps what I think is what we can really do to pay our share, or, you know, in terms of, I think a lot of the people who speak up about these things have probably heard from time to time someone question whether they're a patriot or not, and I've certainly had that myself, and you know, I guess the way I chose to handle that was that being a patriot means standing up for what you believe is right, especially when your government is doing things that you don't think are right. And obviously, with the NSA and all these other goon squads monitoring everything we do, by all means, you know, I know even how these guys check what you post on Facebook or Google searches sometimes. And, you know, that's up to each person to decide what they, how comfortable they feel speaking about certain things, knowing that, you know, we're not always living in a very free society these days. But I've always felt very grateful for the people before me who have given me the strength and courage to speak up about what I've seen myself. And anyway, I'm going to continue doing this here, and I hope you're finding this helpful, and I'll look forward to having you join us again in the future. Again, just hit that subscribe button, and you'll be notified whenever we have any of the future episodes posted. Again, a lot of which focus on many of the different areas and giving you really the overall package of how you can survive and thrive even after this dollar dies. Hey, if these guys are going to melt it down, the way I look at it is, it's like if you know it's going to rain, you bring the umbrella, and we're going to continue helping you form your government umbrella. What a fantastic concept that is. So anyway, with that said, I thank you as always for tuning in. I hope that life finds you well and at peace wherever you are, and feeling confident and prepared, and knowing that there are other people out there that are seeing what you're seeing and are dedicated to finding better ways, and knowing that we can get back to the idea of freedom that I think many of us believed as we were growing up, and still will put our lives on the line to protect, defend, and reclaim. And so with that said, I thank you again for joining me. I hope you are well, and God bless you all.